D. Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We are awaiting Predators general manager Barry Trotz. It's been a couple of weeks since we spoke to Barry Trotz. Last week, he was at the Hockey Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Then he was in Sweden with the Predators, of course, and he stayed a few extra days in Europe, as is our understanding. So it's been a couple of weeks since we talked to Barry Trotz. So as soon as he calls in, we will start that discussion. But I know a lot of you are going to want to know why the Predators decided not to make a coaching change. Andrew Burnett, for the time being, appears safe. The Predators play on Saturday. This looked like the perfect time in the schedule. If the Predators were going to make a change, this was the time that looked the most logical to do it, because the Predators were off for an entire week after traveling to Sweden. So we'll see what Barry Trotz has to say about that. But, you know, the one thing that our other guest today, Elliot Freeman, said, and he wrote about it again in his 32 Thoughts column today, about why he wasn't surprised the Predators made a coaching change, was because of how they played, at least in the first game in Stockholm, Sweden. Elliot Freeman said that if the Predators weren't playing hard for Andrew Burnett, they wouldn't have come back in that game on Friday. It would have been evident that the coaching change was necessary. But the fact that they played hard, they came back to win that game, showed to Elliot, at least, that the Predators had not given up on their coach.
Right, and then the next game wasn't good at all. So you have two very different, and that's where they are. So
yes.
But I think customary when you have a break and it's a quarter of the way through the schedule, it's a natural time to evaluate how it's gone.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators general manager Barry Trotz. Barry, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. Thank you. Let's start with the question a lot of Predators fans want answered. Why have you decided not to make a coaching change after another dismal start to the season?
Well, very simply, a little bit of I believe our coaches have done a really good job. A record may not show it, but they are coaching their butts off. And, you know, it's the easy thing to, as I said in the past, it's the easy thing to do. This is a shared responsibility with the players, myself, and the coaching staff. So I put a little bit more on the a shared responsibility. So from a player standpoint, we need more from, you know, we went out and got some players the last couple of years to add a little bit of offense, and they've come up a little bit dry in the front end. We've restructured our defense, got a lot younger on the back end. We've got five guys that are basically 25 years and younger, so there's not a lot of experience there, but at the same time, we feel that there's a lot of growth for them. So our plan hasn't changed, and the coaches and the management and even the players have been part of the plan, that we are in a little bit of a blend mode, and we were going to add some young guys. So that's my answer to that, is that that's the easy thing to do. If I didn't think the coaches were coaching and trying to make the players better and putting in the time and the effort, then I would make a change. That's not anything. A little bit is, it falls on all three parties. So
I hear what you're saying, Barry, but going back to the start of last season, the team has won 36 of 102 games. The changes you asked Brunette and the coaching staff to make are not achieving the desired results. You're near the bottom of the league in scoring. You're near the bottom of the league in goals against. So what gives you confidence that he and his coaching staff will be able to right the ship?
Well, I don't know. Right the ship, I think we've been in a lot more games this year than last year, for sure. I could say a couple of exceptions. I didn't see the Ranger game because I was part of the NHL awards night. But for the most part, we haven't had too many games where I could say we weren't in the game. And I think last year I could say that a little bit more often. I think Andrew's a good coach. So is Luke Richardson. So is Darby Hendrickson. So is Derek McKenzie. They're good coaches. and they're looking for answers all the time. I mean, you look around the league, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of parity. There's a lot of teams that are in different cycles in their league. I look at the cycle that we're in is very similar to probably, I'll just look at the standings in our own conference. Calgary and St. Louis and us have been good teams, being in the playoff hunt year in and year out for the last number of years. And obviously, I took some swings with our group in free agency because I knew free agency was going to change a little bit, trying to open up the windows. The cupboards were bare. And so we're trying to fill the cupboards, trying to stay fairly competitive. At the same time, some of the moves that I've made in terms of, you know, getting the scoring that we all lacked about, added, a couple of 40 goal scorers, and they need to produce a little bit more. The growth of young guys, a guy like Fedor Svechkov, nothing's ever fluid. A guy like Svetter, for instance, had a decent last year, put up some points. This year, it's been a struggle for him. Do I believe in the player? Absolutely. Do I believe in the coaching staff? I absolutely do. You see whether we have to wait for guys like Wood and LaRue, and you're going to see guys like Schaefer. You're going to see the growth of guys like hopefully Barron and Willsby and Stastny. We've got five rookies in our lineup. I'm not making any excuses, but you do need time, and you need a staff that is supportive of the whole plan. So they have been. And it's the easy thing sitting in your chair, Adam, to just say, you know, change the coach. You see that around the league. Would I get a coach bump? Probably might last 5-10 games, but the quality of the coaching that the players are getting is very high.
Barry Trotz is with us. Barry, back in 2022, so this was before you rejoined the organization, the Predators were swept out of the first round of the playoffs, and David Poile took responsibility for the team struggles under John Hines. He said he, meaning David, had dealt Hines a bad hand by not giving him enough to win. Would you say the same about the roster you have provided Andrew Burnett?
Well, I would say, especially at center ice, I think that's something that we all tried to fix, but we were unable to. So there, as you see, there's not a lot of movement at the center ice position throughout the league. No, it's not the strongest hand, no question. And then we've talked about it even before you were in the position you are now, Adam, that we were going to have a plan where we were going to get into a blend and hopefully stay a little more relevant than we have been. So the plan hasn't changed. That's part of the whole process, is that you're going to go through cycles, and we are in that cycle right now where we're going to keep continuing to add young players to our lineup.
Barry, can you give us an example, a recent example? You mentioned the word blend. Can you give us a recent example of a blend in the NHL that worked?
Yeah, the Washington Capitals last year. It worked for them. This year it's not working as well.
What about it worked for them last year? What specifically did they do?
They ended up winning hockey games.
Well,
they
yes.
They ended up winning some hockey games with some young guys. If you look back at some of those young guys are now struggling. It's part of the NHL. Nothing's, teams that were very good last year aren't as good this year. Teams that were not very good last year are gotten better this year. So every year is a new sort of journey, if you will. And so we've added a lot of young and new players to our lineup.
Barry Trotz is with us. Barry, I remember last season, and correct me if I'm wrong if I have the timing off here. I remember last season, I think it was around the Four Nations face-off break. You said you sat down with your veteran players and asked if they were committed to seeing this through. And if I recall correctly, you said they all said they were. Have you done that this season? And have any players with no movement clauses in their contracts approached you about waiving them?
No. We've talked about it at the start of the year, Adam. Talked at the end of the year, as I said, the Four Nations. And then we talked about it at the end of the year-end meetings. And everybody's been on board. So from that standpoint, everybody's been on board. Now, there's a lot of noise out there. And a lot of it is you know, coming from the media. There's, you know, everything from Andrew Burnett to Philip Forsberg. He's not going anywhere. You know, all those things are out there because those are what the media does. And you've got to speculate, you've got to analyze, you do the same thing we do in terms of analyzing our own team, trying to do the right thing going forward, having a 3- and 4-year plan, not a 1-year plan. We do all that. And so sometimes it doesn't jive with what the perception of is around the, I'll say, be it in the media, your local media, or in the fan base. But we have we think about this all the time, and we always plan for the future. We just, you know, when you make a move in terms of adding young guys and you're drafting young guys, it just takes time, and we're trying to buy some time so we can get a really good core coming. You've got, as I say, you got Martin and Surin and Mullendijk, and these guys, they just need experience. You just can't throw them to the wolves all the time. So we feel like we've built the cupboards up. The cupboards were bare. You know, I want to look, you know, let's look at the Nashville Predators. I've been a part of it for a long, long time. Is the Predators have been built on goaltending and defense for a long, long time. Always saying, hey, we need more scores, we need a little more skill. That's always been the little bit of the narrative, if you will. You know, when we became a good team, and I was a part of that a number of years ago, that was started with the Shea Webbers, the Suitors, the Renes. Then it's gone to Yossi, Ekholm, Saros, you know, that group. And we're waiting for the next group. We're waiting for the Mullendijks and the Rees and the Ivan Kovics and the Surins and all that. They're just not here yet. It's very similar to, you know, when we had a really strong Milwaukee team and Weber and Suter and all those young players were down in Milwaukee, but it took us a couple years. It didn't happen overnight. And, you know, we've moved on from a lot of players. We moved on from some older players that we felt that long-term we'll take a swing at. You know, I'll take a swing at a Nick Hague or a Justin Barron because of their youth, and they fit into a different sort of age bracket where they maybe can be the next sort of core guys. If you know, but you got to take those swings, and we have because we're trying to get to that next core. But the next core is still young, and it's still you know, a lot of it's not even here yet.
Barry Trotz is with us, Predators general manager, and. So, Barry, it's a natural point at the a quarter way through the season to see where you are and what it will take to maybe make a playoff spot. You just mentioned your big picture, watching to see when these 20, 21-year-olds are ready to make a jump. So, in the meantime, would you say that the goals now still haven't changed at this point of the season, even though now you're a quarter of the way through?
Yeah, no, we're still going to – push, but I would say that at the same time, you know, we were in this position. As I said a couple of years ago, we were in this position, and we were in this position last year. It seems that it's 3 years in a row we've been in this position. And you know, 2 years ago we found a way to dig ourselves out of it. That's what we'll have to do. We have to have that kind of mindset. If we don't, then it's a wasted season. I think last year, I didn't feel like we had that mindset. So I started continuing down the path of what we wanted to do is get younger, collect assets, draft, and develop. And so we've been doing that, and that hasn't changed. I kept saying the plan is always in pen, and the path is in pencil. So that part hasn't changed. And I know it's frustrating for sometimes people listening or people watching or whatever. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, you look at the teams that are in a sort of a cycle right now. You look at the Chicago Blackhawks and the San Jose Sharks. They were through a cycle where it was some tough nights there.
tough years.
it's been years. I don't really don't feel I want to do that. In a sense that there's no guarantee that you saw it this year in the draft lottery. You don't get the top pick. But you want to be in a position to do that, and we were in a position. We just didn't have the luck at the lottery. So, we are going to continue to try to draft well. We're going to develop. We've got to give guys like Schaefer and LaRue, or guys like you're going to see them play more, hopefully more prominent roles. Kemmel, O'Hara, Edstrom, Mullendijk, Ufko, and then you got a group of kids that are over in Europe, and guys like Surin and Nielsen. We've got Junior, we got Martin, and Reed that are going to be top players. I really strongly believe. And then in college, you got guys like Lee and Rombach and Fink and Diga, people like that. That's a pretty good stable of players coming. But at the same time, they're young. And they're not ready for the National Hockey League, and so we're trying to buy a little bit of time. But that's the exciting part about it, is that we have young guys coming. The frustrating part of it right now is that we're in a blend, and we're not where we want to be in terms of our record. I mean, Roman Josi, for instance, we haven't had a full team with our defense. We didn't have Josi, didn't have Haig. But with Roman Josi, we're 3-3-2. Without Roman Josi, we're 3-7-2. That's a pretty big difference for, in a record with one player.
No
so
question.
You see, not having Roman last year, it's for a big stretch of time. Even at the start of the year, Roman wasn't quite himself. But having a healthy Roman Josi, which we did early this year, we're a pretty good team. And I've watched us play against Dallas and the top teams in the league, and we've done okay. There's games that I felt that we should have won, but we came on the wrong side. We got a great test. We're going against Colorado. We lost one regulation game this year, but they're a team that is loaded right now. So it's going to be a good test. Do I feel we can hang with them? Absolutely, I think we can. I don't know if there's a W or not, but I do know that we can hang with them. And on any given night in this league, you win hockey games.
Barry, you mentioned Roman Josi. Anybody who's watched the Predators knows how important he is. I saw him go through pretty much a full practice yesterday. Do you have some optimism that he's close, that we might see him very soon?
Yeah, absolutely. Roman has been, you wonder how, when you have injuries and you start to ramp it up, if it gets aggravated or it takes a step backwards. I have no indication that we've taken a step backwards at all. So I would expect that Roman will be very close to being in the lineup shortly here.
That's good. One thing I want to ask you about Andrew Brunette specifically is something that you talked about throughout the summer, about adjusting to the personnel. And, Adam looks at the same analytics that I do, and I think you guys look at them, the sport logic, and you guys are clearly giving up a lot less. You're defending better in general than last year. And as you mentioned a lot of these games are up for grabs in the third period. So in that sense, do you think he's achieved what you were hoping in that he's putting the team in a position to win games in the third period, a lot more so than what we saw last year?
Yeah, absolutely. You've said it a lot better than I did, is that we know that our defense is a work in progress. And, I do know this, that you got to stay in games. You got to be in games. If I could fix one thing with our hockey team, is that, or two things. Number one, for us, is to get off to good starts. I find when we really struggle, and every team struggles, not only in Nashville Predators, any team in the league for the most part, is if you don't get off to a good start, where a team, a good example was our last game in Sweden. Pittsburgh jumped on us early, and we chased it all game. And it's hard to generate when the team gets a lead and they're playing a certain style, which Pittsburgh is a top 10 team defensively in the league right now. And the other thing for me that I would like to change is the mentality when we play a game that Andrew and the coaching staff and the players are all they're all on the same page. They're on the same page pretty well every day. But when we have success by playing a certain way, and we win we get a win, the style of play won't change. And a lot of times it's internally. We want to play a little different. It was really hard the night before, so maybe we'll play a little different today. And that doesn't come from I know it's not coming from the coaching staff. It's got to come. We got to embrace the how hard it is to win in this league. It is a hard, hard league to win, and we've been on the wrong side of the real close games this year, more than I would like it to be. I felt that, we were sat there and had some time to reflect when we were in Sweden. I felt that we should have been at the 500 level based on our game, because there's a lot of good teams. It's been a lot of parity in the league. I think the West has some juggernaut teams on this side and a couple in our division. So, but the best thing, the best teacher is competition. And so, that's going to make us better. And especially our back end, who's really where I put a lot of focus on the last year, is we've got to build a defense for now and in the future. But, that's by the additions of the Willsbys and the Hags and Perviks of the world and Barons of the world that, we've got to get them to the next level. And this organization has done a great job of doing that with young players. I mean, like I said, this team's been built on defense and goaltending. And, we haven't had the influx of high-end forwards in Nashville, not through the draft anyways. We just haven't been in that position for a lot of those players. So we've had to trade for those guys. I mean, Philip Forsberg, who will be our, the highest scoring forward that in team history, is not really a Nashville draft. He was acquired from Washington. So, he's passing David Legman. So we haven't had a lot of those high end forwards, but we're hoping to, hopefully a Riker Lee and the Brady Martin and players of that ilk, Luke Evangelista can be a top end guy and Matthew Wood could be a top end guy. But they're going to need time, and there's no substitute for it.
Barry, one of the things that I've seen a lot of your teams have over the years is if you play that sound defense and you get good goaltending and you have a resourceful offense. I saw some Predator teams of yours in the early years kind of fit that mold. Your Islander teams are a good example. This team seems to be missing that ingredient. Or in some of these close games we're talking about, at least more often than not, we saw it Friday where they found a way. They were the better team, but nothing went in. Then they get the two huge goals from the star players. And if you could get a little more of that, I think it would look more like I think you want it to. So how does this team find more resourcefulness to get that extra goal, knowing the limitations that you've pointed out with Svechkov struggling and, just where you are right now with you don't have a lot of super playmakers that are just going to invent goals every night?
Yeah, well, I think there's enough talent with Forsberg, Stamkos. They've scored. I mean, they don't need as many chances to score, but we've got to get into that area. I think the one area where, we've tried to correct the defense, and I think we're on the right path there. We've got the goaltending. I feel we're very confident there. where we need to get to is a little bit of balance. Like, you look at, you know, I was saying a lot of the teams in that I've had in the past, we've had a little bit of balance, and we've lost a little bit of our balance in terms of the Smith, you know, McCarron, you know, late in games, the go-to, these guys are, you know, the Sissons. You had four or five of those type of guys. One of the things that we tried to do was add offense to our lineup. So, you know, we've added a Stamkos, we've added a Marshall, so we've added a Bunting, we've added those a Holla. There's all those players are probably known for more for their offense than they are for their defense, which is sometimes a little bit perplexing because you think we would score a little bit more. So just getting a balance, and a lot of it is a little bit of a healthy mindset, getting the healthy mindset. And for me this year, when we have lost games, we've lost them because of a lot of our decisions with the puck. We try to maybe get a little bit too cute. And then when we don't score, we tend to be a little bit on the outside. So, you know, I think the success of a Matthew Wood, he gets to the inside. When Philip Forsberg has success, he gets to the inside. When I say getting inside, is getting inside the dots. It's a hard place to go to, and you know, there's a certain skill set that you need to be able to pull that off. But at the same time, you got to just keep, you got to keep pounding the rock. The sooner or later, the rock will crack and you'll bust through. And we just need a little bit more of that, you know, staying power. You know, you saw that as a good example is in Sweden. We played a game that we deserved 100% to win, and we were down to the last minute. We didn't change our game from the start of the game to the end of the game, but we stayed with it, and we were able to get a late goal, and then we were able to win in overtime. And that's where I think I've had great success with the teams that I had in Washington and the teams that I had in Nashville, teams that I had in the Islanders, is that we were able to stay on that path. You know, and if you stay on that path long enough, you never know how close you are. You know, you're hanging on by your nails, and you don't realize how close you are to getting over the top. And we've let go a few too many times.
Barry, before we let you go, you said to Willie a couple of minutes ago that the Predators haven't had those high-end forwards typically found at the top of the draft. This organization has never really undergone one of those full-scale rebuilds, and I know that you are resistant to that, but when you look at the top scorers in the NHL, almost all of them were top picks. Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, Macklin Celebrini, and Connor Bedard are flourishing this season. You won the Stanley Cup with Alex Ovechkin and Nick Backstrom, both of whom were top picks, so I know that there is luck involved with the lottery, as you mentioned earlier. Yeah. It doesn't always bounce your way. But how do you find that franchise-altering player without undergoing one of those rebuilds at some point?
Well, I think there's a little bit of luck. There's a little bit of good scouting. There's a little bit of opportunity. I mean, you look at, free agency right now. If you look into the next year at free agency, there's not a lot. Everybody is signing their top players. You look at, there is probably, I'm going to say 50% of the teams in the National Hockey League are looking for centermen. And so it's easy to say, let's go out and get a centerman, or let's go out and get a top six forward. There's not that many out there, number one. And two, there's not too many out there that are available. The one thing that we have going for us is that we have a stockpile of young players that are already in the hopper, but they just need time. They need time to bake a little bit and cook in the leagues that they're existing in, and then moving up the chain, if you will, over the next couple of years, which we didn't have that 2 years ago. We ran out of, we had such a long stretch. That's why I say, like, Calgary, St. Louis, ourselves are all in that sort of cycle where We're still got some good pieces, but we know that the end game is we're going to have to get younger. We're going to have to rely on infusing our young players into the lineup, which we will. But there'll be nights where they might be overwhelmed. There'll be nights where they might be just outstanding for us. And a good example is Matthew Wood was probably our best player, from what I heard, in against the Rangers, where we didn't maybe play our very best. But we are infusing those young players on the back end. You've seen I'm trying to get bigger. I want some big trees back there. I want a couple of mobile guys. Roman Josi can't play forever, so we've got Mullendijk and a Reed and Afko, those type of style of players have to continue to develop, and we trust they will and end up in our lineup. We need to draft some more size. We got the Gronback, who's 6'6". I traded for Haig, who's 25 years old, 6'6". We traded for Gibson, who's in Milwaukee. I thought hopefully we'll see him in time. Traded for Barron. They're all bigger guys. They may not be as refined as some of the guys that we moved, but in the end game is they will be in the window of the next core. And I tried to explain the next core is where we need to get to, and the next core is going to be the Brady Martins. The next core, I can't tell you how the rest of the season's going to go because it all plays out and it's all, as they say, the path is in pencil. But I can guarantee you this, that you're going to have a good young core that will be in place so that we can continue down the path to try to win a Stanley Cup for the Nashville Predators. I look at in the past, and we've talked about this, is it seems like Detroit burnt it right down, and the draft was cruel to them. And even if the draft isn't cruel, you got to hit the right years. I mean, a guy like Celebrini and Bedard in back-to-back, last couple of years, there's Celebrini and Bedard and people like that. They're the new game changers in the league. And the great thing about the NHL right now is you can see Ovechkin, which you mentioned. You look at Crosby. They were drafted roughly in the same. They're on the back end. They're on the back nine of their careers. They were altered. They changed the game. They changed franchises. Then you look at the sort of the next group of players in Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon. They came in and they changed those franchises, and they're going to be Hall of Famers, and they're elite in their team. And now you're seeing Bedard taking the next step, but it's taken them 3 years. Celebrini, we're in a great window for the NHL for people to see those first overall picks, those game-changing first overall picks, change the franchise. But they don't come every year. They come every couple years. And, you've got to hit it right that way. And if it's not those years, there's still good players to be had. And I think our scouting staff has done a really good job at that. I'm excited for all the young guys and for our city, our team, our franchise. I'd be really excited because we've got some guys that are just starting to get their toe in the National Hockey League. You're seeing a Matthew Wood is getting his toe in the National Hockey League. I'd like to see what he looks like 5 years from now, but I don't have that luxury. Right now, he's in the moment, and he's trying to be a good player as a 21-year-old in the National Hockey League. We're going to see that with Reed Schaefer and Kemmel. They're going to get all their opportunities to play, and hopefully what we've done with them is drafting and developing in Milwaukee and here, we're going to have a really fun team in the future and a winning team in the future.
Predators general manager Barry Trotz has been our guest on D-Maze Ving and Adonic. He joins us every week throughout the hockey season. Barry, as always, thank you for your time. We will chat next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
615-737-1025. A lot to digest there. We will react to it next. You can as well. 615-737-1025. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week Eagles versus Cowboys at 3:25 on 102.5 The Game. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South.